Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Vine, President and CEO of the Education Foundation of Sarasota County and your host for Education Conversations, where we share ideas on education today and ways to help prepare students to thrive. Today's sponsor for us is Sunset Automotive Group. They have been amazing long-term sponsors for us, certainly supporting all things in public education. And we just want to really thank them for their steadfast and continued support. And everyone, just really want to welcome you all to the continuation of our mini series of education and the economy, really trying to show how the nexus of that really comes together in so many different ways. And this episode today for Education Conversations is Community Leadership and Education. And we have a terrific guest here today. And as a side note, I just want to say it's going to be really hard for me to get through this conversation without some level of laughter, because Jennifer Johnson has so much energy, expertise, and is a wonderful friend and partner to the Education Foundation. She's the Director of Community Leadership for Gulf Coast Community Foundation, and she's been in her role at the Gulf Coast Community Foundation for 8 years, leading their mission-driven grant-making process, and where she really oversees numerous strategic initiatives that address regional priorities. And so obviously one of them is always, seems to be, education. And so we're going to hear from her and also tie back to her personal connection of why she cares about this work so much, because I know she has a deep and personal commitment to creating healthier communities for our youth. And she's also a supporter, a big supporter of public education. In fact, I think her own education really came through the public system, and so we'll hear about that. And as a result of scholarships and all sorts of things, I'm probably teeing you up way too much, Jennifer, but let's start there, and welcome to Education Conversations.
Thank you for the warm welcome, Jennifer. I'm delighted to be here. I'm a fan of the podcast, so it's a delight to be a guest.
Oh, good. And it's going to be a great conversation, because you really do have such a knowledge base. I always enjoy just waxing philosophy and talking about the strategic priorities in our community. And so let's first maybe pull back the layers and just learn a little bit about you as a person. Tell us a little bit about how maybe your educational journey, you know, shaped and made kind of your perspective on education today.
I am the only child of a single parent. My mom had a GED, and she said, when you were in the cradle, Jennifer, I would whisper, you're going to love college. So the expectation was there my whole life that I would go off to college and love it, and I did. I went to the University of New Hampshire and then went on to get a master's at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. So my whole education was in the public school system, where I learned from diverse voices and had the opportunity to see that public education really is a game changer. I was able to achieve my goals and have a fulfilling career because of that education.
That's so interesting you say that, because so often we, as we support certainly all students in public education, but we have a direct eye on those who may not have all the resources and supports that they need to be successful in that journey. And it's interesting because we often use the phrase about how there is really an unspoken curriculum that parents and caregivers give to those who, when they set that expectation, and it sounds like your mom did that right out of the, you know, the gate. I mean, that's impressive. Is your mom still around?
She is not. She passed away. And certainly, it was not just my mom. It was also the community. I had scholarships from Rotary, from Kiwanis, my faith community, and that community of support continues to this day.
That's amazing. Well, it's wonderful to hear that. And certainly, we always try to envelop all of the students with the resources that we have in our community. And you certainly have a bird's eye view, being with Gulf Coast Community Foundation and all the strategic priorities that you see for the community in which you serve, which expands beyond Sarasota County. So in full disclosure, maybe you can enlighten our listeners to the reach of Gulf Coast Community Foundation, but wanting to know a little bit more about the six areas of focus, and then also just hone in on why education is such a particular and important topic to Gulf Coast Community Foundation.
Sure. At Gulf Coast Community Foundation, together with our donors, we transform our region through bold and proactive philanthropy. That region consists of Sarasota, Charlotte, and DeSoto counties, as well as Lakewood Ranch, Longboat Key, and Boca Grande. And our focus areas, start with education, as you said, include also health and human services, arts and education, the environment, and civic and economic development. And I think education and economic development are tied. And education is such an important component for a healthy community in terms of having a qualified workforce and how do we support our students, not just academically, but holistically.
Gulf Coast Community Foundation also does regional scans that you all do every certain year. So kind of tie into what you all are finding. What is the research and the data telling you all? What's informing you about how you go into some of your student-centric focused initiatives?
We've been doing regional scans at Gulf Coast Community Foundation since 2009. We have an independent firm that does focus groups, surveys, interviews with community members to help us determine what are the emerging issues in our community, what are the priorities that we should be investing in. So with board approval, our current priority areas are mental health, affordable housing, water quality, and access to green space. So those change over time. They always roll up into those focus areas I mentioned earlier. And when it comes to student initiatives, we're always looking at how can we best support our student population across the lifespan. Obviously, we have students of all ages here. And currently, our focus is on mental health. So we've been partnering with the school district around how can we support bullying prevention. You may have seen the Fentanyl Project. That was a movie that came out last year, available to all high school students in Sarasota and Manatee counties to really support education around the fentanyl crisis and how we can help our students make safe decisions.
What are you all seeing from the time that you started these regional scans to seeing that like your latest regional scan has identified mental health for teens or for students, all of that, youth, maybe that's the better word. How have you all seen that it brought it up? What are the causes that have driven that rise and increase for that need?
We first saw mental health arise as one of the top three priorities in our regional scan in 2019 before the pandemic.
Interesting.
So beginning to see issues around social media use, isolation, lack of access to services. We began to look at the research around what are the gaps in our continuum of care. And there was a great need around prevention services and helping families to navigate what resources are available and how to support their teens and youth. And then that was exacerbated during the pandemic. And we're really looking now at how we can support teens through peer support and through creating healthier environments where they have access to the tools, the information, not only to support themselves, but to support their friends and peers.
Are you seeing any elements, any pockets of success in those initiatives that you're applying? Or are you seeing more of an exacerbation of the need just continues, almost like the snowball effect where it's becoming so large that it's difficult for even one community to fully address it? I'm just trying to get a sense maybe for our listeners to get a shaping the context and the scope and the scale of something like the mental health issue for youth.
While this is a national issue, some of the points of hope that we're seeing in our community are a reduction in stigma. So even if resources exist, if young people aren't willing to ask for help or to seek out that service, you know, it's useless. So the good thing is we're seeing a lot more discussion and awareness around the need to connect young people with support. We know that one caring adult can be the difference between a child in crisis and finding their ability to thrive. And we're seeing more resources. We're seeing a community that's more connected and focused on helping our young people receive the supports they need.
Yeah, I think we're also seeing that same thing. So that's actually great affirmation. And I'm also, what we have seen from our perspective, our students are being more vocal, raising their hand. And so to your point, the stigma is starting to go down. There certainly is a stigma still. I don't want to diminish it, but I think we're seeing very authentic, real kids coming forward and just giving voice to the challenge and struggles that they have and seeking and being willing to seek the support that they need. So thank you for bringing that to light. I know on your website, you've got a headline and it says on your education page that you're preparing the workforce of tomorrow starts in the classroom today. So of course we love that. So when you see that, you know, for me at least, it means that the foundation truly sees the connection between students and the community and business. You see that kind of intersection in all ways. So I'm just kind of curious to hear from you all, particularly your leadership and your support being on our steering committee for Planet Sarasota. You know, what are you seeing as a kind of having the front row seat of what these community partnerships look like and the impact that it's having on students. Can you elaborate a little bit on that?
It has been a joy to be a part of the Planet Sarasota Steering Committee and to work with all sectors in looking at how we can support our young people in connecting to the workforce post-high school. We want our graduates to stay local. One of the projects I'm excited about is our Stopout Initiative.
Yes.
Reconnecting students who started college but didn't finish with a completion coach, helping them overcome those barriers. We don't want students to have debt with no degree. Mm-hmm. So really looking at how we can reconnect them. It's been exciting to see the connections between our after-school programs, our business community, our colleges, as well as our school district, to look at how we can bring professionals into the classroom to help students see all the career opportunities that are here. One of the initiatives that Gulf Coast started in 2010 was Career Edge.
Yes.
Which lives at the Sarasota Chamber. And Career Edge helps to upskill workers and connect under and unemployed young people and adults with high demand jobs, really focused on sectors like healthcare and manufacturing. And with those fast track trainings, with those training programs within employers, if you are promoted within your job, it also opens up an entry level position for another worker to come in and start their career path. At Career Edge, in the past couple of years, we've seen $1.8 million in an increase in worker wages from those trainings.
Wow.
So we know that it's working and we know that we're able to then connect a qualified workforce with our industry.
That's really great numbers to hear. I think Career Edge has been, when you said 10 years, it's been around since 2015. 15 years. I didn't even realize it's been around that long, but they've certainly have been great partners and it's very evident the work and the difference that they're making. It's really, truly a wonderful program that the Chamber has. When you look at the different priorities for Gulf Coast Community Foundation, when it ties into the workforce, are you still seeing any gaps or do you have any thoughts of, gosh, if I could wave my magic wand and create this, you would create something? Do you have anything on top of mind?
More affordable housing.
Oh, let's go down that path. Oh, indeed. So if you had more resources or coordinated efforts in any of your priority areas that Gulf Coast kind of is looking over at Sarasota community, what would be one of the top unmet needs that you all are seeing?
I believe our community has the ability to create the affordable housing that our workforce needs. Our young professionals are seeking affordable housing where they can live, where they can have short commutes. We also want those parents to have time with their children and not be commuting, not be stressed about being able to meet the monthly bills. And we've seen partnerships, public-private partnerships, being able to succeed in building multifamily housing, building a variety of housing types in accessible places where people can access their jobs and childcare and good schools. And so it's exciting. We just have a lot more to do in that realm. The Chamber recently held their second summit on affordable housing, and we had a lot of stakeholders in the room to look at how can we work together to fill the gap. There are over 11,000 housing units we need today to meet our workforce needs and to also keep our young professionals. You know, many of them say the prices are pricing them out of the market, and we don't want to lose them.
Right. And it's something that we're also just, we're exploring as well, because to your point, for us, we look at the teacher sector and we're seeing the ability to retain and recruit even teachers into our community. There needs to be some equitable housing for them so that they're not, what we're also seeing is a lot of them hold side hustles, if you will. They're having the second jobs and things like that just to meet needs. And to your point, also making incredible commutes and driving distances, which are almost to the point where they're becoming untenable. To flash forward then, what are the recommendations that that housing summit or the report that you all were involved in, I think the Community Foundation of Sarasota County was involved in, what are some of the ideas that are kind of starting to be birth that we should all be looking at?
So one group to watch is the Sarasota County Affordable Housing Advisory Council. They have set forward recommendations around inclusionary zoning, making sure that we have mixed-use neighborhoods where we have a diverse community of workforce and retired and everyone being able to benefit from one another. And also looking at a sustainable funding stream for a housing trust fund? How can we as a community have local funds available to be able to fill the gaps? We know the market can't meet the need. The cost of land and construction is so high. And some ideas have been put forward that I think if we're to act upon the recommendations of that Affordable Housing Advisory Council, we will see quick results. We have put forward federal funding toward this issue, and close to 1,000 housing units are in process or have been built over the past few years. So we see that collaboration can work. Now we need that local funding source.
Yeah, that's a great point. Your reference to collaboration, I think, is so on point. And I just want to give a nod to Gulf Coast Community Foundation, because we've always found you all to be incredibly immersive, engaged, authentic, deep collaborators and partners. So I just want to really give Gulf Coast Community Foundation and you, Jennifer, for the time and sweat equity you have given to us, not just the dollars and the funding, but really the time and your expertise of helping us find doable solutions to help improve our community.
Partnerships are our superpower at Gulf Coast Community Foundation.
That's good.
And donors make that possible. You know, we're privileged to live in a community where there's a lot of philanthropy, love of humanity, love of one another. And really bringing that forward, I think, empowers young people, our workforce, our government sectors to work together on these solutions.
That is really wonderful. When you look back at your career and when you started this work and where you are today, what are you seeing as some of the success markers in terms of community improvement? Because you've been in this work for quite a long time. And what was it like maybe when you first started versus what you're seeing today?
That's a good question, Jennifer. So when I look back over my 20 plus year career in public health and public-private partnerships, I see that, like Gulf Coast Community Foundation, when you look at what will be successful for generations to come, that is a blueprint for success. Not looking just at what's going to happen tomorrow, but how do we leave the community better 10 years, 20 years from now? Prior to the past few years, prior to COVID, there was great emphasis on the importance of having the business sector and nonprofits and government working together on solutions like overcoming homelessness and things that take large solutions. I think the pandemic and the political divisiveness we've experienced over the past few years set us back. It made it difficult in a combative public space to find common solutions. And I'm excited to say I'm feeling a more positive tenor in the past few months here, post-election and post-COVID, that we are listening to young people for their solutions, and we are generating ideas together. You know, the business community coming forward to say, we recognize the workforce challenges around a lack of housing. How do we work together with nonprofit developers and philanthropy to come up with multi-year solutions?
It seems to me like we're dealing with complex problems. When I look back historically, I'm like, we actually had very complex problems back in the day too. I mean, we really did. They were just different problems. But in order to find the solutions, we do need to have all the varied stakeholders coming forward. And I do think that's something that Gulf Coast Community Foundation is very skilled at, in pulling all the different community partners together. So I think from your vantage point, I would say that is an absolute nod to success. What's your take? And I know this is a little unscripted, but what is your take on public education in our county and community? How do you all view Sarasota County schools and the performance and the work that's going on here?
We are excited about the increasing graduation rate in Sarasota County. We have strong public education here, which is a huge draw for people to move to this community. It is a pleasure to work with Sarasota County Schools on their mental health initiatives, on their reading initiatives. We launched a civility squad some years ago, and they're always looking to community resources to improve what they can offer learners and educators. In terms of public education in general, to me, it's the bedrock of democracy, and it's the path that has allowed me to find a career that I love and pursue it. And I truly believe that without strong public education, we don't have the potential for a strong economy or a thriving and healthy community.
We would absolutely support that as well. And again, Gulf Coast has been a great partner. I think the one advantage that Sarasota County Schools has had, and I know they gave some credit for sure in their increase to 92.5% high school graduation rate, is all of the community partners that are helping to do that. And there's so many hands trying to lift the boats up. So that's terrific. So listeners, if you want to learn more about Gulf Coast Community Foundation, you can certainly visit their website at Gulf Coast C as in Carrie and F as in Frank, CF.org. And you also can find us at edfoundationsrq.org. Jennifer, is there anything else that you want to close out that I might have missed asking you or anything along those lines?
If anyone wants to read the regional scan, it is there on our website. And our application process is open as well. So for students of all ages who are looking for a college scholarship, those are available on our, there's a link on our website as well to apply. And last year alone, I think we awarded almost $700,000 in college scholarships to local students.
Wow. That's great. Okay, students, I hope you heard that because they do have money available. Oh, I guess a side is you do have to complete your FAFSA to be eligible for a scholarship, kids. So make sure high school seniors, you're definitely doing that. So Jennifer, thank you so much for joining me on Education Conversations. It's just always great to talk and have conversation with you. I want to thank Sunset Automotive Group again for its generosity and support. And thanks to all your listeners for tuning into today's podcast. I hope you listen to some of the other education conversations that we can have in the future. And you can certainly like us on Apple and Spotify. I think we're expanding our reach, so that's always kind of fun. But for now, this is Jennifer Vine signing off for the Education Foundation of Sarasota County.